I would suggest that the most amazing aspect of this parsha, Vayeshev, maybe we'll just overview it, and perhaps mention some of the salient elements of the parsha. The parsha begins, of course, with the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik, which you are certainly aware of. The Gemara at the end of Brachos, the Gemara points out that the dream has in it an aspect of Nevuah. It has a prophetic element to it. And we know that Yosef has two sets of dreams, and it creates a certain degree of enmity, sinah, regarding his brothers, because clearly Yosef is dreaming of Malchus. He dreams of kingship, of sovereignty. He's going to be a manig, and his brothers clearly are not happy about neither the dreams, nor are they happy about the Ksonas Pasid, about the coat of many colors that was given by Yaakov to Yosef. And the Rishonim all explain, the Rabban, the Ben Bechaye, the Ababinel, and the Sfarno as well, it was a bit later, that there was a struggle here that took place between Yosef and Yehuda. The brothers clearly favored Yehuda, that he should be the Melech. And ultimately, Malchus is vested in Yehuda, that's the pasuk at the end of Vayechi. Lo Yosef shaved him Yehuda, mechokin ben ragla. But Yaakov Avinu clearly had a favoritism towards Yosef. He saw him as the ultimate manhig, and at the end of the day, as you all know, Yosef is only a temporary kind of Mishnah Lamelech, not only Mishnah Lamelech Mitzrayim, but also the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef as opposed to Mashiach ben David, which comes from Yehuda, and that's what emerges. But now we have the dreams, and the dreams create sinna, and also create kinna, jealousy on the part of his brothers, and his father at one point, beginning in the parasha, rebukes Yosef as well. Ma chalom azeh asher chalomta, havo novo ani v'imcha v'achecha l'shtachavo sech orza. So even though there's kinna, and his father rebukes him, v'oviv shomar es hadover, famous Rashi. Oviv shomar es hadover, Yaakov was waiting for the dreams to come to fruition. Because nevuah is nevuah is nevuah. And no matter how one may attempt to even stem the tide of nevuah and try one's best to completely curtail it and perhaps even have it expurgated and eviscerated and eliminated, but nevuah is nevuah is nevuah. And the Torah continues. Yaakov tells Yosef, I want to send you on a mission to your brothers. Yosef responds, Hineni, I'm ready. His kibud avim was incredibly striking, even though he knew well that his brothers were not enamored of him, understatement of the year. The Torah continues. Yaakov tells him, see, seek out the welfare of your brothers and report back to me. And then the pasuk says, a very striking pasuk that Rashi comments on, Vayishlocheu me'emek Chebron. What an expression. He sent him from the depths of Chebron. So what does Rashi say? I don't have a Rashi in front of me. But what does Rashi say? Me'etza amuka shel also tzadik akavu b'chevron. Rashi says from a etza amuka, a deep etza, counsel, from the tzadik who's buried in Chevron. Which tzadik are we referring to? Avraham Avinu. What did Avraham Avinu say? The Bris Min Absarim. Yado ateida ki ger yez ha'acha b'eretz lo lahem. V'avodum b'ino sam avam me'oshana. He already foresaw that what's going to be, you're going to be subjugated, you're going to be essentially mishubadim to some nation, 400 years, and achrechei yetzel mechush gadol. Somehow there's a hint here, right in this pasuk, to that event that's going to take place hundreds of years later. The Torah continues, and then we have a strange series of psukim, very striking and very strange. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal always pointed this out. The Torah says, "Vayimtzaeu ish," a man finds him. The word toeh is spelled tof ayin hey. What does the word toeh mean? Toeh means wandering. He's wandering about. Vayishalei ha'ish. Again, this mysterious man asks him, "Mata vakesh? What are you looking for?" Vayomer esachay enochi mavakesh. This can be understood in a double kind of way. Physically, I'm looking for my brothers. Just leave it open if you don't mind. And number two, he's looking for a brotherhood that's been lost. And maybe you know, he tells this mysterious person, where they are. So isn't it amazing? this mysterious individual, whom he met coincidentally, just happens to know whom his brothers are and where they're at. Vayomer ha'ish nasu mizeh. They are in a certain direction, and that's how Yosef was able to find them. So what's amazing, Rav Soloveitchik noted, that the term ish is found not only here, as Yosef searches for his brothers, he just meets an ish who happens just to tell him, and happens just to know where his brothers are. But the ish already is earlier, if you remember, there's an ish who struggles with Yaakov Avinu in last week's Parsha by Yishlach, that's the Sar Shel Esav, and then there's an ish in Miketz, who is that ish? None other than Yosef HaTzadik, the mysterious ish who confronts his brothers when they arrived in Egypt. And the word ish appears so many times in Miketz, almost as to approach absurdity. So, what's amazing, the Torah goes on, and begins now to describe what happened. And right away, when they see him, what is their response? Hinei bal ha-chalomo salazeba. That dreamer has arrived. Now that language is, number one, very striking for two reasons. There's no question Yosef is a Baal HaChalomos. He had two dreams, but they call him Baal HaChalomos HaLozeh. That doesn't sound too, shall we say, friendly-like. And it's not friendly-like. Because the next moment, V'yatoluchum anargeu. Let's get rid of this pest. Let us eliminate him. V'nashlicheu v'yachal haboros v'yamanu chayo v'achaloso. Let's create this kind of deception to fool Yaakov Avinu, and then v'nireh mayu chalavosa. All these chalavos will obviously go down the tubes, down the drain. And then Reuben intervenes, and then at the end of this, of course, what happens? Yosef is stripped of his ksonas pasim, and Yosef is thrown into a boar, and before you know it, Yosef is sold. How many times he was sold is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Mefarshim. And at the end, of course, of all this, what happens? That the Torah then tells us he's down, down and out. TKO, technical knockout. I don't know which round it was. But whatever the case is, he's down and out. And at the end, he's in Mitzrayim, Potiphar, Swiss, Paro, Sarat HaBochim. Then there's an interruption, which needs attention. The story of Tamar and Yehuda seems to be no connection. Ma'in Yeshmita, Isar Sinai. I saw this discussed very nicely in a Sefer called Shaila Avi. But putting that aside, after that chapter, Yosef hurad Mitzrayma, Yosef now is down to Egypt. And there we know what happens. Yosef, no matter what you do, you think it's a technical knockout in the first round, he's down, and a moment later, in the second round, he's up. Then Nachamal is down, and then he's up. Nachamal down, Nachamal up. I mean, in the dungeon, out of the dungeon, in the incarceration, out of the incarceration, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they see he's an Ish Matzliach, and then before you know it, the king of Egypt has a dream, and we have the Sar Mashkim, Sar Ofim, and before you know it, guess what? Yosef is now the Mishnah of the Melech Mitzrayim. What an unbelievable series of events. So I want to read the Ramban. The Ramban, probably one of the most famous Rambans of the Torah. Ramban writes at the very beginning of all this, when that person, which is Chazal, he was a Malach, Gabriel, found him and he's wandering in the field, says the Ramban, Toim en aderech, lo yodeh, ono lo, he doesn't know where he's going. V'nichnas v'sodeh, v'yarech ha'kosu b'zeh. Why is the Torah so prolix about this matter? Why is it so lengthy? Kisibos rabos bo'i eleo sh'yavoi lachzolo. There was every reason in the world for Yosef to what? Go back home. I can't find my brothers. I can't carry out the mission. Clearly, mission aborted. Failure. Home, James. That would be the normal reaction. Aval hakol sabal l'chvod ovid. No, Yosef continued on. He pressed on. Lo dienu, comes the Torah to teach you. And this is the language of the Ramban. Ki hagzira emes v'charitzu sheker. All the shtadlus in the world that we do on an ongoing basis, and we do all kinds of shtadlus, all of us, individually, collectively, you name it, all the shtadlus in the world is sheker. And the gzira of Hashem is ultimately that which is going to prevail. Ki zime lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu more derech shalom midaito. What did Hashem prepare? A more derech. What do you call him? in English, a guide. Mora Derech is a term used here in Eretz Yisrael. Namely, when you go on a tiyul, you have a Mora Derech, someone who obviously guides you, a GPS, who navigates the shoals. So Hashem created a Mora Derech, Shalom Idaito, unwillingly, La'viyo B'yada, in order that they should come together, Yosef and his brothers. Ulazed Niskavi Rabbaseinu, that's what Chazal mean when they say that all these personalities, one ish, another ish, another ish, they're all malachim. This was not in vain, this entire story, the whole saga, going all the way down to Egypt. Why, said the Ramban? Lo dienu. Maybe I should sing it. Rabos machshavos, la la la, la la la, belevish, vatsas Hashem, hisoku. Says the Ramban, that is the lesson that's being taught here. We have all kinds of machshavos, every one of us, individually, collectively. At the end of the day, what prevails? Atzas Hashem. Why is he laughing? I don't think Svardim sing that song. You sing that too? Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Is that a Kalbach song? I don't even know. Is it? I think it is. That's my wife. That's her only chisaron. Anyway, so the Parsha of Vayeshev is essentially, I remember many years ago I heard, I didn't hear him a lot, I'm going to Yisrocha Freer, the Rosh Yeshiva Baltimore. So I heard him speak once on this Parsha, and he called this Parsha a puppet show with Hashem pulling the strings. It's not his Chiddush, it's the Ramban. That's what the Ramban says. We are essentially puppets. And who is the master puppeteer, the maestro, upstairs? Correct. That's the Gemara in Brachos that you were obviously referring to. He turned his eyes upward. You know that Gemara in Brachos? You'll look at it and you'll find it. There's a famous comment of the Rokeach. Rokeach is one of the Gdolei Rishonim. You probably are not so familiar with him. He's not so well known. So the Rokeach writes actually that Parshas Vayeshev has 112 psukim. Okay, nice and dandy. And there's another parak in the Hillel that also has, we say it on Friday night and Shabbos morning, namely Mizmor Shir, the Yom HaShabbos. Also contains 112 letters. So somehow there's a connection between Parsha Vayeshev and that parak in Tehillim. What does that mean? What's that, Gzeir Shava? I'm just being cute. I don't believe it's Gzeir Shava. So the Ramban is, I believe, the answer to this question. Yosef could have gone home, not finding his brothers. I tried. I was not successful. What would all of us have done? I think that's what we would have done. He persisted above the call of duty till the mission is complete. But if there's a decree in heaven, then it's going to be inevitably carried out. You will try to avert that decree. It's all for naught. When Hashem wants something to occur, it's going to happen. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, that is the way it is, and that is what's going to be. That's why the Ramban uses this lashon. Hagzera emes, the decree comes true. Charitzu sheker, all my efforts to avert it. I don't know if I should use this example. I didn't want to go to Torah Shraga. I don't want to sit and learn all day. What is this? This is ridiculous. Boring Gemara. Humdrum, routinized, regimented. Again, more Gemara. More Gemara. Second Seder, third Seder. How many storm could you have in Gemara? There's a Yiddish expression, maybe your father knows it. A mensch tracht und Gott lacht. No?
Man plans, God laughs.
Thank you. Wow. What's going on here? There's someone with some Yiddish here? I can't believe it. Abyssal. Wow. It's like in the yeshiva world, they're very proud of the fact they speak Yiddish. And they say, ich bin sehr disappointed. That's how they speak Yiddish. Anyway, I grew up on Yiddish. It's my mama lashon. My mother, Lashon, spoke Yiddish. That's what I grew up on. And I heard Shuv Vasolovetsky in Yiddish. tens and tens of shurim, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I guess in Denver that's not the vernacular, kind of. It's not the language of currency. That's fine. They're too congealed over there. Anyway, so it's not their fault. But you told me there's a summer. There's a summer there. So there's hope. And the Ramban here indicates that Hashem sent the Mora Derech to make sure Yosef, even though he wanted to go back home, but ultimately the rendezvous that has to occur has to occur. So this essentially is probably the most important lesson. Ramban, one of the most famous Rambans in Chumash. And I want to just add to this Ramban a little bit with some things that are fairly obvious to all of you. I'm not telling you any chidushin whatsoever over here. We have, in effect, three puppets. Yaakov, puppet number one. Yosef, puppet number two. Brothers, puppets number three. And the puppeteer is Ribbono Shel Olam. He's pulling the strings. Now, Yaakov Avinu is a great tzaddik. And Yaakov Avinu gives Yosef a ksonas pasit. Was that the right thing to do? To show him favoritism? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, the famous Gemara of Yud, that never show different treatment to one child over another. I don't think you need a Gemara to tell you that. Anyone who has children knows that they all need to be treated the same way. It doesn't mean the chinuch of each one is the same. Of course not. Chanoch na'al pidarko. Each one needs a different chinuch. But certainly favoritism, absolutely unconscionable. Because you'll just inflame sibling rivalry, and who knows what kind of Rachman Litzlan atmosphere in the home is going to be created. So how does Yaakov Avinu make such a mistake? Pasuk says something which is astounding. It's a pasuk. And how do you deal with this pasuk? The Yisrael. Ahaves Yosef Mikol Banov. Ki Ben Zkunim Hula. What's a Ben Zkunim? Ben Zkunim. Yosef is loved by Yaakov more than all his other children. Why? Ben Zkunim, he's born when? In his old age. He's a cute little guy. The youngest child. Are you the youngest? Okay, I won't get into this right now. But anyway, oh Hashem, he's beloved, even though he's not the youngest. The brothers, as you know, what are they convinced that Yosef is? The Rishonim have a field day. He's a Reidev. You know what a Reidev means? Al Pi Halacha? Someone who's running after me. And you see this, and the guy might have to show him, kill me. What do you do? What are you obligated to do? Assume you're in a position to do so.
Kill him.
That's right. Now, first, you should obviously maim him. Correct? Don't right away kill him. Maim him. Injure him. If you can stop him in that fashion, you should do so. But if you can't, so then the halacha is that you have to intervene and even kill the person, the rodev. So Yosef, as far as they're concerned, is a rodev. They are convinced he's about to kill them. So they have a bezdin, and they say, he's a din roidev, and a roidev is chayim misa. That's how they paskin. Other Rishonim have different explanations. I'm just telling you what Rishonim say over here on this week's Pasha. This is Yosef Atzadi. Were they off the mark? Of course they were off the mark. Now again, how can they make such a gross error? Shiftei kol. The Shvatim? How can they make such an error? Misjudgment about their brother. On the other hand, Yosef suspects them of what? Rashi in beginning by Yeshem, sexual morality, Basra, Eva Menachai, has he made that mistake? And the answer is, as the Ramban said, Hagzera Emes, Vachavisa Sheker. That's part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's grand plan. So even though people act in a certain kind of way, logically, it all falls by the wayside. All the actors are blinded by Hashem. Because he has a specific yad in mind, and that has to be carried out. And even though they normally would act or think differently, they don't do so. They are puppets in the hands of the puppeteer. How could Yaakov send Yosef on such a mission? Many ask. It was a mission that was sakana, built into the very mission. So under normal circumstances, Yaakov would not have done it. It would have been asa. But it's all part of the Eitza Amuka Shel Oysel Tzadik HaKov B'Chevro. Ribbono Shel Olam, the grandiose maestro. Rabos Machshavos. He doesn't like that nigga. B'merish va'atzas Hashem yisoku. We're making him into an Ashkenazi. Achman Litzlan. And that's clearly what Rashi means. And it's amazing that this is the overriding theme of the Parsha. So now going back to the question that we asked earlier from the Rokeach. What's the connection between this 112 Sukkim and what we say on Shabbos, Tzadik Beis? Means no Shulim on Shabbos. It used to be Tzadik Beis. I hope it still is. Chapter 92. Yes, it's still Tzadik Beis. Mizmo Shili Yom HaShabbos. So, Chazal say, who composed this chapter? Adam HaRishon. When Adam was created, Hashem showed him 6,000 years of world history. And when Adam expressed his response in this beautiful Perek HaTehillim, Morabu Masecha Hashem! How great! How wondrous are the actions of Hashem. Kulam b'chochma asisa. Look at the unbelievable chochma Hashem created the world. Adam was amazed. Ish bar lo yeda, only someone who has some depth of thinking can understand it. He saw an entire scope of 6,000 years of history and how in the end everything fits in. When we individually look at what's happening to ourselves, as I said earlier, individually, collectively, what is going on here? What am I doing in this yeshiva? Why all these other chaps here? I'm being polite. What are the Sephardim doing here? And the Sephardim ask, who are these Ashkenazim? So Adam doesn't only have the benefit of hindsight, but he's got foresight as well. And he writes, Ish Bala Yeda, someone who's empty-headed, can't understand this. A fool doesn't understand it. You know what we don't understand? Listen to this pasuk. Bifruach v'shoyin k'mo eisen, when the wicked bloom like grass, v'yatzitzit kol po'al yavin, all the evildoers seem to be prospering, and how the righteous are suffering. And of course, what's the answer? That's what we see right now. Why bad things happen to good people? But at the end of the day, l'hishom damadiyad. Hashem has a plan. So therefore, this mizmor, the Yom HaShabbos, and Pas Vayeshev address the same thing. When we look at something right now, we don't understand what's happening. But looking back decades later, wow, Hashem is amazing. And I could only speak about this, and maybe our honored guest could also understand it. He's a bit older than you, about a year or two. I'm only about 5 years older than you are. Anyone who looks back at their lives, and I look back at it, and I see how Hashem has directed traffic in my life, I am astounded. I am not only astounded, I'm stupefied. There were many things I wanted to do, and somehow the Ribbono Shel Olam moved me this way, that way. I was literally a puppet, a pawn in the hands of Hashem, and I see it ad hayom hazeh. And I look back at it, and I say, wow, what a brisk genius the Ribbono Shel Olam was. Of course he had to come from Brisk, clearly. Ain't Shum Sofek. Or maybe from Avadia. That's all. Have to give his father credit as well. So that's the connection, says the Rokeach, between Perek Tzadik Beis, chapter 92, 112 psukim of Pas Vayeshev, 112 psukim in here, and this Yisod, I heard it from a number of Rabbeim, from Hagoyin Rabbi Friend, Rabbi Yisrael. I heard it from Rav Schwab, Hagoyin Rav Schwab from Washington Heights. I lived in Washington Heights for many years. I don't suggest you necessarily live there, but you can spend some time there. It's fine. as long as you ultimately leave. I don't think you consider it to be the neighborhood to live in. I hope you don't mind. I'm just being cute today. Anyway, I am astounded by this Ramban, and I've always been astounded by it for years and years and years. When I was in high school, I learned the Ramban al Torah, as I've already mentioned a number of times, and I'm amazed by the Ramban. Now, the question is whether I have enough time to tell a story, which of course is why everyone comes. Because the Rogalach did not come today, which is upsetting again to me. We'll have to do something. To the bakery, to the baker. Okay. It won't be sinister, so. I'm not such a menacing fellow. There's a Jew in Europe, he walked into a little village, a little shtetl. He saw another Jew walking by. And he stopped him and said, "Hey, Reb Yid, can I ask you a question?" So that guy said, "I can't answer you now. I'm late for a shul, I'm late for a minyan." He ran off. The question, the first Jew wanted to ask him, "Where's the shul?" The second Jew said he was on his way to the shul, so the first Jew followed him. When he got to shul, he approached the second Jew, who was too busy to listen to his question, said, "I got a question for you. In our parsha it says that Yaakov told Yosef, Lech narei shlom achecha v'shlom atzom, go look into the welfare of the flock and your brothers and give me a report." The man found Yosef, he was vulgaring. That word, I'm sure you know. How shall I translate that? Blundering. Do I need to translate that too? Wandering, okay. I guess in Denver they speak English. He was wandering the field and asked them, "What are you looking for?" And Yosef said, "I'm looking for my brothers. You know where they might be? The man said, "Yeah, I heard. I eavesdropped. Just happened to be. I was there when they were talking. They're going to Dyson." So he goes after his brothers. So Chazal say, who was it? Gabriel. The Malach Gabriel. Rashi quotes it. And those when the Torah said, by Yisraelish, a man found it was Gabriel who came to save him. So there's a man who wrestled with Yaakov. If you remember last week's Pasha, Chazal say, who was that? The Sav Shel Esav. Esav's guardian angel, also an angel, but an evil angel. So when the Torah uses the term Ish, how do Chazal know whether it's a good angel or a bad angel? So the second Jew had no answer. That's the question he asked him. The first Jew responded, he said over something from the Divrei Chayim, Rav Chaim Sanza, the Sanza Rov. Only he knows here who the Sanza Rov is. After the battle with the angel, Yaakov asked the Malach for a bracha. The angel said, "I don't have time to give you a bracha. Tell us a shachar. I got a mission. I got to say Shira to Hashem Yisbarach. Leave me alone. Get me out of here so I can get back upstairs." So if the answer you receive from a stranger, if that's the answer, rest assured you're speaking to a bad Malach. But if someone sees that you're lost and says, "Can I help you?" then you're speaking to a good angel, Gabriel. That's how you know what a good angel is or a bad angel is. So, the Ramban is saying here the most important yesod throughout Jewish history. Namely, Ribono Shel Olam is the master manipulator, and it's amazing. So now I'm going to try to share a story that I heard from a shliach of Chabad, Rabbi Brisky, from Medora Hills, California. Anyone know that name? I'll try to make it quick. I have about 17 minutes. There's a group of rabbinic young men, namely being trained in Chabad to be rabbonim. They move into the Hyatt Hotel, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to help with the minyanim. Over 1,000 people join them. They fly in rabbinic students from Crown Heights. You may have heard of Crown Heights. I don't know if anyone is familiar with Chabad. Crown Heights. I assume Chabad's in Denver as well. Baruch Hashem. And the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they stay in the home, and after davening, they come to their lodging, and they see a moving truck next door on Shabbos. The moving truck has on it the following name, NGB MC. Rashi Tevis, nice Jewish boys moving company, California. So if you're in the mindset of a Litvak, and it's Shabbos, you see a truck with that logo, what's your reaction? Feh! Shabbos! Chil Shabbos! If you're a Chabad Chosid, you see that? Oh boy, customers, I got an opportunity. A different way of looking at the same truck. So the Bachrim go over and say to them, are you Jewish? Turns out, a bunch of macho Israelis. They're the moving company. Of course, they made Aliyah to California. So they say to him, you're working hard. Why don't you take a break? Have some cholent, have some kugel, shtikulvatia, lechayim. Then you go back. They look at each other. They go into the house. And they decide, let me sit around the Shabbos table. So the Chabad Shliach in California, in Adora Hills, this rough, comes around to his Bachrim and is introduced to the movers, to these macho Israeli strong guys. He asks them, do you have a place for Yom Kippur? Sure, join us. And right away, before you know, they start drinking, eating kugel and cholent, start singing Zmiras of Shabbos. In the middle, one of them says, oh, we're in trouble. The guy moving in just showed up and we're drinking, we're eating on the job. We're not carrying out our mission. So one of the guys, who was a nephew of this Rabbi Brisky, I think his name was Yossi Brisky, I don't recall now the exact name. He's, I believe, now in Scottsdale, Arizona, another borough park of the United States. You've probably heard of it. He runs out because the people who are moving in have just arrived. And he says, hi to those people. Welcome to the neighborhood. The guy's a little startled. He's there, himself and a 8-year-old girl, and Yossi says to him, do you happen to be Jewish? The fellow says, not only am I Jewish, I'm the music conductor in the Reformed Jewish Temple in the Valley. So the mindset again of traditional Orthodox Judaism, someone plays music in the Reformed Temple on Shabbos. Chabad Chosid. What does he say to him? Can you teach me some Shabbos Nigunim? So he got a different way of looking at things. So Jack, that's the name of the guy, and Megan, his daughter, are brought in, introduced to their movers, and they're sitting around the Shabbos table, and Jack knows a number of songs. He's the musical conductor. And he's singing away, and it's beautiful. They stay the entire Shabbos till Abdullah. Jack is living it up. He's singing. He named my tov umano. Shabbos achim gam yochad. What could be more wonderful? And after Shabbos, they continue to unload the truck. Next day, there's a note under Rabbi Brisky's office door. It says, I want you to know that God works through you. Signed, Jack and Megan. So the rabbi calls Jack up and said, thank you for the note. Said, I don't know if you're the type of rabbi that believes in God or not, but I met both types. So before I get into my car to move to Adora Hills, I turned to God and said, if this is the right thing for me, send me a sign the moment I come. I open the door. Fell comes out and says, welcome to Adora. Excuse me, are you Jewish? Why don't you sing some Shabbos songs for us? And that's what happened. Now, I don't know any other way God could have sent a clearer sign. I don't know whom you guys are, but God clearly works for you. You're obviously his emissaries. So on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Brisky tells this over for his sermon, teaching the beauty of the Jewish neshama. Every Jew has a neshama, just has to emerge, has to be brought out from its dormant state. As he's telling the story, the back row jumps up. All my Israeli movers jump up from the seat in the back. Wow! But the story has a postscript. This rabbi, for a number of years, gave classes in pain and suffering and emunah that one should have despite the pain, despite the suffering. And that year, my new neighbor friend who started coming to Chabad is crying the entire class, all for those classes. And when the lectures were over, finally he runs on stage and falls on the shoulders of this Rabbi Brisky and says, I got to talk to you. He says, I want to share part of my life with you. A year ago, my wife and I had three children. Two of our three children were in a terrible car accident and died. I couldn't deal with the pain. I couldn't deal with the suffering. I hated living. I couldn't deal with God. Clearly, God is dead. I went into a terrible depression. From therapist to therapist, I lost my job. I lost my wife. She left me. And she took Megan, my daughter, that was left with her. I was alone. And every day was darkness. I decided it's time to say farewell to this miserable world. And may as well commit suicide. And not just suicide, but why should I be buried after suicide? What should they do? What's become a favorite approach? Conservation of energy. Why do we need a pine box? Do you know what people do? I imagine you may have heard of it.
Cremate.
That's become a popular pastime among Jews. I deal with this issue quite often, unfortunately. Not here in SSL, long distance from Chutz Laaretz. And he said, I may as well commit suicide, cremation. For me, it would be a relief. I just wanted to say goodbye to my daughter, take her out. So I call my ex, and I say to her, let me take my daughter, our daughter, to the movies. And I go to a place called Mountain Gate Shopping Center. I had to write this all down. A ban I could deal with without, but this I have to write down all the protein. I enter the malls, I recognize Jewish music, and at the entrance to the movie theater, a menorah. Guess what? It was Hanukkah that night. And there was a Hanukkah party right in front of the movie theater. Someone grabs my hand, starts dancing with me around the menorah with my daughter Megan on the very night that I wanted to end my life, that it was all over. With each circle, I felt God was speaking to me, saying through the flames of the menorah, stick around a little bit. Don't leave so quickly. Maybe there'll be more light in your life. I went home. I decided, okay, I'm going to stay. I returned to the world at large, got my job back, out of my depression, rebuilt my life, moved to a new community. I decided to pick Adora Hills in California, a house. And that day I said, if it was you, namely the Bashefa, the Almighty, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the Mountain Park Plaza talking to me, send me a sign when I come to Adora. And that's my story. And Rabbi Brisky heard this and said, wow. And then he said to Jack, wait a moment. And he finds the photo. Chabad, I don't know if you're aware, they're into photo montages writ large. I guess all of us are, not just Chabad. But they're into it. He finds the photo of Rabbi Brisky dancing with Jack around the menorah. Rabbi Brisky remembers that night. For every night they light a menorah at another shopping center. That year they picked, I think it's called Sina Valley. And you need a shopping center called 411 to find out what shopping center should I go to. Is that the number 411? Is that still the number? I don't know. I'm out of commission for 27 years. And they get to Mountain Gate Shopping Center, design labels. The lady says, sure, you can do anything in our Enverins, bands, balloons, whatever you like. They discovered the mall is going out of business. The moment they arrived in the scene, every store had closed down. The place was going to be demolished. The only thing left in the mall was a movie theater. No one's there. That's why she kept telling him, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? This is the place you want? And he said, yes! The Chabadnik. So they had their clowns and balloons and stages, except no one. No one was there. Only a movie theater! So they put the menorah in front of the movie theater. They decided, whoever comes, they're going to dance with them. That's what they're going to do. Have a record. So I come home. What a failure. And guess who arrives? That gentleman. And we danced. And divine providence. Unbelievable. The Hashkocha of Hashem is Baruch. All of our lives are literally, completely, and totally enveloped with Hashkocha. But we just have to recognize it. Just have to wake up and smell the coffee. And I can only speak about my own life. I can't speak about anyone else's life. I saw a story with this, I'll end, and I'm very into the Vilna Gaon. I follow many Minhagi Agro since I came to Eretz Yisrael 27 years ago, Ken Yerbum. And they say over that the Gaon used to go into Golos from time to time. The Gaon traveled all over the world. They say for two reasons. One is he wanted to look at libraries, Kisfayad, or different Gemaras in order to establish what the correct text was in the Gemara. And secondly, the Gemara says in Makis, Golos Mechaperes. Galut Mechaperet. He doesn't know what to do with me already. I have a tendency to get on people's cases, but only mitoch chiba, out of love. So the Gaon, Galut Mechaperet. So on one such trip, he stayed in the home of a Jew who honored him immensely. And this Jew was remarkable. He used to honor his wife unbelievably. The Vilna Gaon was about to leave. So the host asked the Gaon, did you notice how much I honor my wife? How much I'm a chabad? The Gaon said, yes, I'm very impressed. So the man said, don't be so impressed. When you hear my story, you'll understand it's only natural. It's a very famous gross story. Why I honor him so much? And the story was, he was 13 years old. He was already a Talmid Chacham. And a wealthy person noticed his potential, like the young people here, 18, 19, etc., 20, whatever. And everyone's going to want you for their future son-in-law. Was there even a suffix? There's no suffix here. If you have daughters, maybe you have daughters, Baruch Hashem.
Two.
Two! Wow! We have here. What a selection. I'm not joking. He thinks I'm jesting. Must be that Denver cold got to you. Anyway, so a wealthy person noticed his future son-in-law, and the chassid was scheduled for 7 years later. He's 13 years old. So they scheduled a chassid for 7 years later, and he would be 20, and he promised, I'll give you a large dowry at the wedding. And meanwhile, he hired private tutors so he could continue to learn the Torah. Clearly, he went to Torah Shraga in order to become a great Talmid Chacham. And when he turned 20, he was already a recognized Talmid Chacham. At that time, his future father-in-law lost all of his gelt. You know what gelt is? All of his mammon, all of his money, all of his moolah, all of his wampum. I don't know how to express it. So he was ready to go on with the chassid regardless, because he had a kar satov to him. Look at this guy. He hired Torah teachers for me all those years. He sent me the Torah shraga. But my father said, it's awesome. I have to marry into a wealthy family. I'm a Talmid Chacham. I'm from the Gedolei Ador. I'm from Torah shraga. For goodness sakes. And indeed, he married a girl from a wealthy family, but soon after the chasna, he discovered that he has a health problem which he didn't know about before. So his shver invested a lot of money to cure him, his father-in-law. Einikov, we have an Einikov of Yisrachim Zunenfeld over here. Do you know what that is? You know who it is, but he doesn't know who his great-grandfather was. So I'm trying to help him. Do you know where he went to school? Kushta! Rabbi Yisrachim Zunenfeld has an Einikov in Kushta! You want to talk about Nisim? Nisim Gluyim, greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. Anyway, so his father-in-law invested a lot of money to cure him. And the doctors earned a nice living, pretending to try to heal him. And one doctor finally told his father that there was nothing known in medicine that can cure him. So his father-in-law said, you must divorce my daughter. There's no cure. And he obliged. What could he do? So first a broken shidduch, then a divorce, then a health problem. He felt his life was in shambles. Nobody wants to marry me with that. A whole tzedel. Tzedel means a list of faults and foibles and problems. Depressed, he went to live in Hegdish. You know what the Hegdish is? Like a communal room and board for the penniless and the homeless. So someone saw him in the Hegdish and noticed how bitter he was and asked me about that. I told him I was a budding Talmid Chacham, had so much potential, and now look what happened to me. I'm living like a beggar. With no future, no spice, and no future. Spouse, spice. They don't like my sense of humor. I don't blame them. So the man answered that I know of a girl has exactly the same ailment as he has. She might be a good shidduch for you. Baruch Hashem, and the marrying her. After the chasna, she told me she wasn't born with that ailment. It developed due to distress and depression. Her engagement with the Talmud Chacham was terminated because her father didn't have enough money to pay the dowry. So he asked some more questions. Discovered she was my first kala, and she became ill on my account. So doesn't she deserve that I should honor her so much? So the Gaon said, my entire galus and all my peregrinations in galus were worthwhile just to hear the story. Hashkocha Pratis. Unbelievable, the Hashkocha of Hashem is Baruch. All based on the Ramban. Hagzera Emes, v'chavitzu Sheker. It applies to you as well. In so many different ways. I'm not pointing to anyone specifically, even though I am. Each one of us, if we realize the Hashkocha of Hashem is Baruch, and we go with it, Yibbal Hashem will bring us unquestionable Soyuz Teves, Yeshua Sunachomos, Amen, the Amen.